Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we're visiting with a new group forming in Des Moines for young adults called ID 916. This organization was formed in response to the number of young people leaving the faith. This group helps parishes raise up communities of young adults who want to spread the good news and be missionary disciples. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on the bishop's mind.
Really looking forward to hearing from Amanda and Blake again in this weeks of Advent. We've kind of feel the vortex kind of taking us up in a way. The Marian feasts of this week as well with the Immaculate Conception on Monday. And then the beautiful custom that I was privileged to be part of for the first time, the celebration of the Our Lady of Guadalupe, La Virgen de Guadalupe, the Mass at 11 p.m. on Wednesday night at the Cathedral of St. Ambrose with the procession before from Our Lady of the Americas, Father Fabian and all his people there through the night in the light and coming as Juan Diego did to discover Our Lady, turned toward us. Her mantle of love and protection is open to us in that way. So mariachi band and everything that was going on with that. And they were very tolerant of my Spanish and everything else. So, you know, hopefully the Holy Spirit fills in the gaps of understanding that it wasn't just babble there, but beauty coming forth. Still trying to meet our support of our Hispanic seminarians, the Catholic Extension Society has challenged us to come below the $50,000 that they would match. And so the raffle tickets that I think we did very, very well. But if there's any people out there, again, our seminarians who come from Mexico or other places who bring that capacity by nature and linguistic ability to minister to people. But again, that support really kind of spills over in supporting all of our seminarians, because whatever we're able to provide for any segment is really enriching all of them in that way. So if people still interested in doing that, they can get in touch with our Hispanic Ministry office at the Diocesan Pastoral Center. So get to install our first pastor this week, Father Ken Halber at St. Luke's in Ankeny. He's been there for some time, but we'll kind of celebrate with those people and his role as shepherd as he continues to guide them and kind of the extension of the bishop in that way. And so just to be there and to affirm him that he's been called by God to celebrate with those people and to build them up in that way. So, you know, I'm kind of intrigued, ID 916. I guess it stands for Intentional Disciples, so 1 Corinthians 9:16. Mm-hmm. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. So that could be kind of, whoa, daunting, but I think really the enthusiasm there, and that's really what's going to be appealing for people of all generations, but I think for young people in a particular way. And I think of the people when I was at the University of Iowa, and you really kind of, you know, as a young adult in his mid-20s, who am I now as a person? You know, I've had the faith, but is this really for me? And I think it was rubbing shoulders with people who had faith and had a place for it in the co-ed medical fraternity in which I lived. There were also some staunch atheists, too, so you kind of got sifted as well. And I think that's probably the experience on a much more intense scale for young people today. Kelly, were there people for you who kind of, you know, brought that out?
Sure, yeah. I was fortunate that I ran into a friend who told me about, I lived in Ankeny at the time, and he told me about the there was a young Catholic adults and friends group at St. Francis Parish in West Des Moines. So I started driving back and forth from Ankeny to West Des Moines because I found, too, it was really hard to meet like-minded people of the same faith who thought the same things I did. And a lot of my friends today are friends I met through that church, and I met my husband through that church. And so, yeah, definitely important.
Oh, it was very productive. No. Yeah. But, yeah, that, you know, you weren't kind of an outlier there. And you're not looking to form an elite group of people who are
Absolutely
not. I mean, I think we have too much of that in our culture today, right? Where we only go to those sites and other places where people think like us. But where it can really be, you know, on the way, you know, we're all continuing to be formed by things. So you found that as well. So good.
Yes. All right. Well, we would just want to remind people that if you've experienced Jesus in the past week, you should text us at 515-223-1150 with the hashtag Bishop. Let us know how you've experienced your faith. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll welcome Amanda Finiseth and Blake Riffle to tell us about a new group forming in Des Moines for young adults. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Impoverished children break everyone's heart, but poverty seems like such a big problem. What can one person do to make a difference? For 17 years, Blessman International's passion has been to connect the resources of our donors with sustainable programs that impact the lives of impoverished children in South Africa. Our donors are feeding thousands of hungry children every week, providing basic water and sanitation for impoverished communities, and sharing the love of God in practical ways every day. Go to www.blessmaninternational.org and make your donation today.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. On today's show, we're visiting with Amanda Finiseth and Blake Riffle about a new group forming for young adults in Des Moines called ID 916. This organization was formed in 2011 in Michigan to help parishes raise up communities of young adults who want to spread the good news.
Hi, Amanda and Blake. It's great to have you here. I'm really pleased. I guess I've had a brief FaceTime with you at my pre-ordination Vespers service. Blake, you tell me we encountered
amongst many of the 100 people.
Yeah,
I don't know how you've been around.
You have a very distinctive look, so you'd think I would be there. And Amanda, kind of part of that daily Mass community on occasion at St. Ambrose. Yeah,
yep.
So I have the Wednesday 12:10 Mass as much as I can as my schedule permits. So it's not always a guaranteed slam dunk, but it's nice to be with you in that as well. So I really don't know much about this ID 960. Can you tell us, are you both Des Moines people, or did you grow up here, or were you young professionals are moving in all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Definitely young adults. There's a lot of people moving in, and they don't have that like base of family there. I actually grew up around this area, so I just am 45 minutes from home.
Okay.
So I'm real close, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm one of those people that didn't have that family base when I moved to Des Moines. I grew up in Burlington, Iowa, mm-hmm. and then went to school at the University of Iowa, was in the Quad Cities for a few years after college, and moved to Des Moines for a work opportunity, and slowly got involved in the community. And so having the young adult community was huge for me to continue in my faith walk once I moved here without having that immediate family to fall back into.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned you're a electrical engineer, Blake. I mean, do you find among even your work colleagues that there's an environment of faith, or is that kind of bracketed and set aside?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that overall, there certainly is that desire in all of us. Now, how we engage with that desire and how we have that conversation about it certainly varies. I am fortunate enough to work in an environment where there are quite a few Christians, and I think that it's helpful because it's reflective in the work that we do and the projects that we take on. So it naturally attracts people who are about a mission of environmental and financial stewardship there. But overall, I think that those are desires that especially young people with this stirring passion, this desire for truth and goodness and beauty, that's something that is timeless and ageless. And especially when we're in moments of transition in our life, those are the things as seasons come and go. Those are those transcendentals that we really are seeking to find that stability in our life as well.
Well, you're speaking in soaring terms. Are you sure you didn't have some philosophy? You're speaking to my soul, man. That's great. That's beautiful. So did you find things here that were avenues for you to kind of, you know, sustain and amplify your faith, or did you have to kind of create those?
I think it kind of depends. There's definitely some opportunities out there in the diocese. But I think the biggest problem or difficulty, I guess, that I would say is if you move here, if you're one of those transitional people, you move and you have to have a lot of courage and a very strong faith to walk into a church, not knowing a single soul, sit in a pew by yourself and potentially walk out not having anyone acknowledge you or let you know that you were seen. And so I think that's one of the biggest hurdles we have to overcome with the young adult generation is to let them know that they are seen and they're wanted in our churches for who they are, not what they can provide. I don't know how many times I heard other generations say, there's just no young adults helping out. Why aren't the young adults helping out? And I think one of the reasons is because the only time young adults are sought out is for what they can do and not who they are. And that's one of the biggest epidemics I see in our young adult culture right now is that feeling of loneliness, that they're not wanted mm-hmm. for who they are. They're not seen. They're not, they don't, no one asks to know who they are. Mm-hmm. And Mother Teresa said that the greatest poverty in this world is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved. And so that's what we're trying to counter, is to create a community where young adults can be seen and known for who they are. And that's what we really strive for, is to let them know that we want them there. This is a young adult ministry created by young adults for young adults. And so we know what the challenges are, and we're trying to take them head on and say, you're wanted. You know, most of the people who come to our Thursday night event are personal invites. And if we don't know you yet, we want to know you. So we want mm-hmm. those young adults to come because we want to create that personal connection with them. And we want to plug them in to small groups where they can go every week or every other week, meet with the same core group of people and really dive into each other, get to know each other, create that family where a lot of us don't have families because in our generation, there's a lot of moving around and mm-hmm. there's not that stability and you don't stay where your family is. And so mm-hmm. we really want to create that opportunity for family and the feeling of being known in the church by other people in the church.
Oh, that's very compelling how mm-hmm. you describe that, you know, and I know Pope Francis speaks of the way in which, you know, we can flit from one thing to the next and a kind of transience, even if we're not moving physically, that we can kind of do that. And then, but mm-hmm. that's not going to satisfy these stirrings of our heart and this hunger we have for that connection. Social media can go so far, but like you say, seeing someone face to face and, someone looking at us as a person and taking us not mm-hmm. just seriously, but just the regard of love, you know, love seeing yeah. us and reflecting back to us our lovability
mm-hmm.
in that
Absolutely.
Way.
Yeah. yeah.
And that kind of an apostolic thing, it sounds like to me, that going out and you guys who can do this in a way that's very powerful, you know, that maybe someone wearing a Roman collar like yours truly, okay, that's okay. But coming from you, there's a certain vitality mm-hmm. and freshness and approachability in that. So how do you do this? I mean, what happens, you know, when you guys get together?
So this ministry has been a build-up for about eight months of our core team meeting, and prior to that, a couple months of logistics here. So we've had 6-8 months of our core team leading up to the ministry kicking off for our Thursday night Disciples Night events. Quick plug, those are the first Thursday of every month at St. Teresa's. So for anyone interested, we always meet for confession at 6 p.m. Mass at 6 p.m. confession prior to Mass, and then we'll have
It's nice when that order plays out. It doesn't always.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And then we'll have dinner and a speaker afterwards. So for 6 months, we really got to experience this culture of small group, ultimately this culture of relationship, like Amanda was talking about. I think that that's, again, to come back to that, that's something that is just so important, and it touches really that deepest desire that we have in our heart to know and to be known. And so that's one thing that is really pivotal for this ministry, is having that small group that ultimately is the relationship that brings them into the large group Disciples Night here as well. And ultimately, I think that that's really what being an intentional disciple is all about. We are in relationship with one another, shoulder to shoulder on this faith journey. But even more than that, we are growing in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And by having those strong relationships with one another, that's a lot of the way that he encounters us and we encounter him, is through that community as well. So I think that community element is really hugely important for us.
It sounds intimate and real, but could it be a little intimidating? You know, wow, I'm not feeling so faith. I'm kind of there, but not there. And I know what I don't really, you know, subscribe to. Would that be kind of something that someone should stay away for that reason?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, it is.
Is this a cult? Is this a cult?
That's exactly right. No, it, don't get me wrong. It is messy, but I think that that's one of the beautiful things about it. It's this journey isn't something that we control or we manipulate or compartmentalize. I think that there's something more beautiful about the messiness of real relationships, right? And I think we've certainly experienced that in our core team. I'll just speak personally for I live in a men's house with three other guys, and there is at times a literal mess around the house, but also just the day-to-day life, and we were so blessed through our ministry team meeting together, and just through the witness of the four of us guys living together, as friends are coming and going, one friend actually who was loosely Christian, actually this Easter will be joining the Catholic Church, just from seeing kind of this integrated life, just the messiness and the day-to-day reality of being a disciple, all the highs and lows, which quite honestly I don't think would have happened if we would have tried to live this life behind closed doors. Instead, just arms wide open, life wide open, just inviting people into a full reality of what a walk of faith really looks like. Yeah. I always think about the quote of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, a saint is a sinner that keeps trying, right? And so there's a messiness and a certain reality of this day-to-day life that we're living out there. Yeah. And I think it's a trap that Satan will try to use to make us feel like once we get to a squeaky clean point, then we can go out and evangelize, then we can open up. But ultimately, that's a lie that just scatters and compartmentalizes and isolates us. And so I think that that's, again, why that community element is so important, just inviting people in to the day-to-day reality of the messiness of this walk of discipleship.
Yeah.
So being a messy Christian is not an oxymoron.
No, it's not. No, it is not.
So yeah. Good. So Amanda, what are things that you're seeing that kind of awaken your heart and maybe kind of open up the vision for you of what might happen with this group? ID 916.
Yeah. I think it's kind of what Blake just touched on, just that fruit. I think we're already seeing it. We've seen a different crowd of young adults coming to our Thursday nights that necessarily come to the Young Catholics of Des Moines group every Thursday. And so that's really wonderful because we're all in this together. You know, we're working hand in hand with the other young adult ministries in Des Moines, and we're trying to just increase the opportunities for young adults to come. And I know in our core team, I've seen a lot of fruit already coming for myself and for some of the other young adults as we're challenging each other, holding each other accountable, and also bringing stuff to the table that you didn't even know about, you know, a saint here or just kind of a theological belief there. And it's just really interesting to grow in that. And I think kind of for those people who are on the fence, who maybe don't know so much about their faith or are kind of like, I don't know if I believe in this Catholic faith. Like I went to church every Sunday growing up, but I don't know if I want to be a part of this church anymore. Our next series starting in February is the next 5 months are going to be touching on kind of some of the scandals that are going in the church. And mm-hmm. It's going to be about why we're still Catholic. So, you know, it's going to be an awesome series to kind of touch on those things. And for the skeptics out there, the people that are on the fence that don't know, this is going to be a great series. And I really encourage you to come that first Thursday starting in February.
Wow. Yeah. Can we record these or post these? I mean, that'd be great. I mean, obviously, you know, there'll be some hard questions asked too, but it'd be great for me just to listen. I know you have me on the menu for April, I think.
Yes, you're going to be doing Mass in
maybe,
April.
Maybe I can't wait that long.
You know? You can do as many Masses as you want.
Yeah. Bishop looking for work. no, no left-handers need apply. So, young adults, we're human beings. We're looking for love. Are there those who might be looking for exclusive relationships in this group? Is that a dynamic? I mean, we're human beings, right? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that begin to take root? Or is that something that maybe because it's just being together at this larger, you know, smaller or larger mm-hmm. group, that's not the accent anyway.
Right. I think it's a great opportunity to look for a significant other that shares your core beliefs and that really gets down to what you believe. We have had at least one relationship form through that, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to have actually an environment where male and female of the same generation can just be together, be brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I actually love the beauty of being able to be with the men that are part of our group and know that I can talk about that with them about really hard, deep stuff. And I can get like a brotherly advice that I know that those men have my back and that there's no ulterior motives. They're not like looking at me, trying to date me or like whatever. It's they love me and it's a pure love. It's a true love of friendship. And that is super unique, I think, also to our group as our core team has been meeting for the last 6 to 8 months is the pureness of the love of the friendships that are there. And then there's not that ulterior motive of, oh, maybe I'll date this person or, oh, maybe I'll date that person. Like, yes, there is the opportunity for that, mm-hmm. but that's not the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that sometimes forgotten virtue of friendship that we have to be formed in our capacity for friendships, you know, yeah. and I'll try not to do a riff on Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics, but pleasure, usefulness, but to really just the being with, mm-hmm. and then it enhances whatever we're doing in conversation, prayer, self-giving, anything that when we're doing it with others, it's just a...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that ultimately, what we're talking about is just not getting our ends and our means confused here. I mean, if we're going to this event, ultimately what the mission of this organization is to form intentional disciples of Jesus Christ and his church.
Well, it sounds like the Spirit's really in it. Thank you. So first Thursday of January is your next gathering, right?
Yeah.
In the cathedral. Thank you very much, Amanda and Blake.
Yeah. Thank you, Bishop.
All right. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you, Bless Me International, for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Everyone lives their life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How we use that time directly affects if our life will leave a significant impact or not. Each year, Bless Me International leads Central Iowans on a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmeinternational.org. That's blessmeinternational.org.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy. I'm learning again. I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter, but my will gets weak. And my thoughts seem to scatter, but I think it's a God. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even if you don't love me anymore.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. Great interview about ID 916.
I was so inspired.
I was impressed.
Blake and Amanda. I mean, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of heard rumblings about all of this, but mm-hmm. I just think, you know, this is, maybe the Spirit blowing in a unique and creative way. Mm-hmm. And again, their authenticity, you know, mm-hmm. and not trying to be anyone other than they are.
Uh-huh.
And I think that kind of caravan of solidarity, again, that Pope mm-hmm. Francis talks about, that we're on the way and it's messy and yet there's kind of an embrace of each other. And Pope Francis mentions again, and I'm, you know, again, Christus vivit, Christ living, Christ is alive, you know, that sometimes young people, young professionals or young adults in any way, they kind of give the impression they want to be left alone. Why doesn't the church just leave me alone? But no one wants to be lonely, mm-hmm. right? And I think this way of just beholding the other, and somebody looks at me, you know, we sometimes remark about politicians where, oh, in those 15 seconds, they made me feel like I was the only person who existed mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. But we're really all looking at that, you know. Mm-hmm. My siblings kind of get on me sometimes if we're offering a toast at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, that you have to look each other in the eye and not just kind of, you know, look to what you're getting out of it in this way. And so I think mm-hmm. that's a beautiful thing. So the chance to give witness in the way, and that's where the Spirit I think pokes through, and the grace of Christ, you know, lifting us up in a beautiful way. You think about things people can do to be witness of their faith. Kelly, are there things that speak to you in any particular way? Or
sure. Well, I mean, social media is one way, obviously. You know, I have mm-hmm. friends of all faith and non-faith beliefs, so, you know, yes, there's a large audience. Some people may not care what I care about, but mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be afraid to share things on there about my faith. So, because you're being a witness, and I think that people should do more of that. Yeah. I'm not going to be afraid to share things that I believe in.
Yeah.
And I also am, you know, I go to Farrell's, a kickboxing place, people of all beliefs, so I'm not afraid to talk about it there. I've become friends with people there, and just little ways they find out who I am, and maybe they may be attracted to what I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Marvelous. The holidays, you know, these seasons, people traveling more than they are, sometimes going to be with family or others. I think of the Tom Hanks movie Terminal, where as an Eastern European, he got stuck at JFK, could neither leave nor, go back to his own country. So, but there's another Tom Hanks movie out, again, about Mr. Rogers, and there's some themes there woven of a great spiritual level, whether he's regarded as a saint or not, but he had a message that I can think speak to people. Can you share a little bit more what's going on?
Sure. Well, we know that Mitch, you know, there's this new movie out. It's called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, about Mr. Rogers and his life. And during his shows, he talked a lot about feelings and caring for people. And I guess apparently there's this article that during the movie, it portrays the real life story of this reporter from one of the major magazines who followed Mr. Rogers. And he really didn't want to do the story, was very cynical about it, thought he could find a darkness to Mr. Rogers. And as it turned out, they became great friends, and Mr. Rogers encouraged him to reconnect with his father, whom he had a big, big disagreement on their wedding day, and encouraged him to find forgiveness. So apparently there's different elements, themes of forgiveness and spirituality in the movie. So I think it's worth checking out.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice when it isn't always packaged in that forward way that,
right.
you know, that we discover a certain solidarity with people in that regard.
And gotten great reviews, so there you go.
So certainly encouraging people in their parishes to take advantage of the opportunity for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It's kind of a Christmas gift we give not only other people in our lives, but ourselves as well, mm-hmm. to experience that peace that Jesus wants us to know, mm-hmm. the lifting of the burden, so that we can truly turn our faces to Him, to seek His face and have Him looking back at us. On a worldly sense of reconciliation after the results of last night's Iowa State basketball game. We're looking forward to next week when we'll have the voice of the Hawkeyes, Gary Dolphin,
yes.
on our show, and kind of, a longtime friend and a great man of faith besides being a very high-profile person. So we'll hear from Gary Dolphin, and looking forward to that chance. So those of you, you know, the wolf will lie down with the lamb in Advent, and so too.
This has been another edition of Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners in Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
You can hear Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson every week on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.